If you're able to, would you please stand as we read from the book of Luke chapter 19. We'll begin reading at verse 41. We'll read down through verse 48. Luke 19, 41 through 48. Verse 41, and when he was come near, that being Jesus, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And when he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that we may be attentive today to your holy word. And Lord, we pray for those that are here that are still grieving over the loss of loved ones. Lord, we know that we've had a number of families who have lost people. Lord, we do pray that you would have your hand upon each one of our people who are away right now, be it on trips or, Lord, just are unable to come because of illness, that you'd be with them and bring them back again safely to us. Now, Lord, may we be attentive to what you would tell us. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Last week we talked about Jesus weeping over the city of Jerusalem. And as I listened Friday to the news report that the U.S. Supreme Court will be listening to arguments concerning same-sex unions, I wonder if our Lord weeps over our nation as it continues to reject his words and his will. We find that the Lord in the book of Ezekiel talked about the city of Sodom, and how that because of the fact that the people of Sodom were not only full of pride, and they had fullness of bread, and they had abundance of idleness, and that they were selfish, that they were also perverse. And that because of the sin of homosexuality, he destroyed the cities. You have to wonder at what point in time God will bring judgment upon the United States of America because of abortion and because of homosexuality. Verse 42, we could bring it to mean the United States, if thou, United States of America, hadst known the things which belong unto thy peace. Folks, may I say this, nation is great or has been great not because of great industry. It has not been great because we've had great military prowess. It has been great because of gospel preaching churches. And as gospel preaching churches begin to diminish in America, the greatness that we once had will begin to diminish. We find in verses 45 through 48 that Jesus went into the temple. It was his practice that when visiting a city that he would go into their synagogue, and when he was in Jerusalem, he would go into the temple. And this time, upon entering the temple, he was sore displeased with what he found. I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ came physically into the Covenant Baptist Church right now, would he be pleased? And what would he say, and how would he respond? We find in the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 15, concerning this episode, that he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. He is going to quote two verses in just a moment, but we find that people had come to Jerusalem because it was nearing the time of the Passover, and they had come and they would have to bring sacrifices, and so they would purchase them there, and there were money exchangers, and they would charge exorbitant rates. In other words, cheating those people who had come to the temple. And those that sold the doves charged more than what they should have. And so they were making money off those who came to worship. And the Lord was sore displeased, and he drove them out of the temple. And then he quotes from Isaiah 56, verse 7, "Even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in house of prayer. For my house shall be called in a house of prayer for all people." May I say this, that this church building should be a house of prayer. And that when we have our prayer service tonight at 5:30, we gather to what I consider, we gather for the most important service of the month, of the week. As we come to pray. Because it's a house of prayer. And then he also quotes from Jeremiah 7:11, "In this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers." And he talks from these verses how it should be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. The Lord's house is to be a place to bring honor and glory to his name. Now, I like to sing. I hope that you like to sing. Now, I'm not the best of singers. Please don't say amen. But I enjoy singing. I enjoy singing when you're here and when you're not here. I try not to do it if Pastor Stephen is around the building. I don't want him to laugh. But we need to remember this is a house of prayer. This is a house where we come to worship. This is a house that is for his honor and for his glory. And once the temple is cleansed, and he has done away with those who would make market of his people, he taught daily in the temple. He taught daily. He went in there and he would expound upon the Old Testament. He would talk, I'm sure, about himself. They would come to be healed while he was there, according to Matthew 21. "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were sore displeased." Can you imagine being upset because people were being healed? Can you imagine being upset because the children were calling out to Jesus? And we find here in the book of Luke that the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. Can you imagine wanting to kill Jesus? Yet today in many worship places, they seek to destroy the words of the Lord. Finding them to be too controversial. For Jesus would say, "Go and sin no more." And yet today we give excuses and say, "Well, you've had such a hard time. It's understandable why you do these things." No, Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." We find them too constricting, cramping our humanistic way of thinking. And so they try to remove the word of God from the house of God. They're too convicting, telling us that there needs to be a change. There are churches, and I don't understand how you can be a Christian church and try to combine evolution with Christianity. may I say this? It's impossible. God created the heaven and the earth. He spoke the words and it happened. It did not happen over millions and billions of years. It happened exactly when Christ, or when the Lord created the worlds. On Friday, January 16th, Pastor Stephen, my wife Donna, and I attended the Massillon Baptist College Alumni and Friends Fellowship Meeting. Now that's a long title, isn't it? Massillon Baptist College Alumni and Friends Fellowship Meeting. Now, Pastor Stephen is an alumni. You graduated 2006. I am a friend because I did not graduate from the Massillon Baptist College, but I truly enjoy going to their fellowship meetings, and I'm glad they allow me to come. It was held at the Calvary Baptist Church in Shelby, Ohio. How many of you know where Shelby, Ohio is? My wife and a couple of these people here know where Shelby is. All right. Well, Shelby, Ohio is not too far from Mansfield, Ohio. How many of you know where Mansfield, Ohio is? More of you. All right. So we were there, and Pastor Shag is the pastor. The building that we met in was built in 1881. The woodwork was amazing. I was envious. It was really neat. They had pews, and the pews were not straight across like ours, but they kind of were bent. It was really neat. 1881. It was originally built for the United Brethren Fellowship. That group of people in that particular church would join with a Methodist group. The Church of God congregation bought it, and then the Baptists bought it in the 80s. And so we were there, and there were four speakers. When I come back from one of these fellowship meetings, my dad always asks me, "Did you speak?" I'm glad my dad thinks I should speak at these different meetings. But I did not speak. But there were four speakers, and Pastor Stephen, they did a fine job, right? I think that two of them were graduates of Massillon. One was from my where I graduated from, and I'm not sure where the other man spoke from or graduated from, but there were four speakers. And they talked about things they were not taught in Bible college. Now, you would imagine that when you go to Bible college, you're going to be a pastor, they would teach you everything you need to know, right? That's wrong. One of them told about having to clean pigeon droppings out of the church belfry. May I say this? There is no class in Bible college that teaches you to do that. One of them talked about being at a funeral, and once the family was seated at the gravesite. Now, in your mind's eye, see this, the pastor's there, the family is seated at the gravesite, and an older woman hurrying to join the people fell into the grave. Now, that would something they never taught me in Bible college what to do. But then another talked about having to go to the hospital where one of the women of the church had just delivered twins. One living for a minute and the other living for 2 minutes. And how the distraught husband asked the pastor to hold the two dead infants for him. Now, folks, that's something they never teach you in Bible college. But may I say this, all four told us of the need for gospel preaching pastors to remain faithful during a time when church people are searching for entertainment centers that water down the Word of God. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you would, please. Familiar words. Words that I believe describe many churches today. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Jesus taught the people day by day, and there were many that were attentive to his teachings. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Paul is writing to this young preacher named Timothy, and he says, I charge you that this is what you're to do. Verse 2, preach the word. May I say this? We need to make sure that we continue to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come. Is this the time? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they will want to hear certain things, but not necessarily that which is found in the Word of God. Verse 4 says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We find that there are those today that try to, as I said earlier, combine evolution with Christianity. There were those who will try to say that it's all right that a woman is a preacher. There are those who will say it's all right for someone to be a homosexual or a lesbian and be the pastor of a church. We find this in America today because they have turned from the truth and have been turned unto fables. Our verse today from 3 John was that of walking in truth. 1 Peter 1:25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of the Lord endureth forever. May I say this? If everyone is doing wrong, it doesn't make it right. It doesn't matter what laws our nation declares as legal if God says it's illegal, if it's immoral, if it's wrong. Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler, or in other words, protection to all those that trust in him. To all those that trust in him. Trust is something once lost, very hard to gain back. How important it is that we are trusting in the right things. That we are trusting in the Word of God. Trust. Believe it. The wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. And we know that death comes to all. Just a month or so ago, Cindy's former father-in-law passed away. Not too long ago, Donna's mother died a couple of days before Christmas, passed away. We find Mrs. Frazier is over here. Mrs. Frazier's over here. Mrs. Frazier's husband passed away. Judy's mother just passed away. All within the last 5 weeks or so, death comes because sin is in the world. Sin came and death comes. But the gift of God. Now, I don't know who gave me this gift. Thank you. My wife will never see it. And you say, well, why, Pastor Paul? Won't you share it with her? My wife can't do chocolate. This is mine. It is greatly appreciated. All right. But gifts, have you ever been given a gift? Have you ever driven by someone's house and there was a car out on the driveway and there was a bow on it? Anybody ever see something like that? Wow, that's nice. You have been given gifts through your life. But there is no more precious gift than the gift that Jesus Christ gives of eternal life. You say, why do I need that gift? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All need a Savior, and Jesus Christ died while we were yet sinners that He could redeem us. But what is it about a gift that makes it a gift? You have to what? You have to receive it. You have to receive it. What if, and I know I'm talking about this chocolate bar an awful lot today. Am I making you hungry? I hope I'm not making any of you jealous. There's my gift. What if after the service, I go down, I greet you, we talk, I get in the car, and I go home. Where's the gift? It'll be gone. So if I don't take my gift, I make some of you thieves. You are messing up my illustration here. But what if I leave the building and that's there? Where is my gift? It's over here, isn't it? See, the Lord Jesus Christ offers a gift. Do you have to accept it? No, the people don't have to accept it. A lot of people don't accept it. A lot of people say, nah, I don't need that gift. I'm going to get to heaven on my own merit. You will never get to heaven on your own merit. You're not smart enough. You're not good looking enough. You're not, rich enough. Your friends aren't influential enough. You can only get to heaven through Jesus Christ. And He offers you a gift, and you must accept it if you're going to have eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the one and only way, because God Almighty only accepts one way, and that is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only way, is through His shed blood. We find that they wanted to destroy Jesus. There are those today who want to destroy the work of Christ. They want to do away with the teachings of Christ. They will call us every word imaginable because they refused. But may I say this? The word of the Lord endureth forever. As for God, His way is perfect. Shall we stand together? The song of invitation this morning is Just As I Am, 375. And that's how you have to come to Christ, just as you are. Asking Him to forgive you of your sins. Asking Him to be your Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, may You touch hearts. May the Spirit convict. And Lord, may there be joy in heaven over one repenting today. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.